Shalom, and welcome to In the Beginning. My name is Shmuel Bowman, and I am a Torah scribe.
All right, and we are back, Pirkei Avot, episode number 4, I believe.
It is. We are here. Okay, Pirkei Avot, we're talking about Yossi ben Yozel. Okay, so now, take us there.
Okay, so we are continuing now the lineage of receiving the Torah from Mount Sinai, and we now reached Yosei ben Yozel and Yosei ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim. So let's see what the two Yoseis had to say. Okay. Yosei ben Yozel ish Tzada v'Yosei ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kiblu mehem. יוסי בן יועזר איש צרדה אומר, יהי ביתך בית ועד לחכמים, והווה מתאבק באפר רגליהם, והווה שוטה וצמא את דבריהם.
Aha, okay, so I'm going to read the English translation from the Sefaria, and as per usual, the link for this in Sefaria will be in the show notes. So please click on that and follow along if you'd like. According to the English translation, let's see how they translate it. Yossi ben Yozel, a man of Tzereda, okay? And Yossi ben Yochanan, a man of Jerusalem, received the oral tradition from them, being Shimon the Tzaddik and Antigonus. We've talked about those two rabbis beforehand. Mm-hmm. Yossi ben Yozel used to say, let your house be a house of meeting for the sages, and sit in the very dust of their feet, and drink in their words with thirst. Is that accurate? Is that okay? Translate. Sometimes,
yeah. I think that's great.
I think they did a good job with
that. Yeah, they did a good job. Okay. And I think this is a pushback to the previous Mishnah, because in the previous Mishnah, we had this very kind of New Age liberal approach, saying, you know, don't just do the Torah as it said. Think big, and don't be a servant who serves the master without the expectation of receiving you should be like a servant who serves the master without the expectation of receiving a reward. Mm-hmm. It was almost challenging traditional Judaism. And all of a sudden the two Yossis, maybe, I don't know. I like to think that there's a little bit of, who is it? Was it Charles Dickens who gave every figure in his stories a name that matches what they are?
Right. Yeah. You had Oliver Twist,
and
the Artful Dodger, and
Fagin the Jew,
and then in other stories, what was his name from A Christmas Carol? Ebenezer Scrooge. Hmm.
Hints a little bit about the character. So, right. I think many times in the Talmud, we have names that are not necessarily their real names. And they come to give a message. And if I'm, reading into this, I think the fact that both of them is Yosei and what they're saying is guys, I think, all the students of Antigonus, or a lot of them, became tzedokim. They went off the way. Time to recenter a little bit. Let's get stay to tradition, be traditional. And that's exactly what they're saying. Let your house be a house of meeting for the sages. You know, make sure that your focus is learning from your elders, and sit in the very dust of their feet. It means, the way I see it, don't challenge them, listen, just be there completely like dust, you're nothing. You don't even have an opinion, and just drink every word they say with thirst. Maybe it's kind of a pushback.
Right. And the fact is that this is totally, legitimate. This is the idea of pushback or, difference of opinion, discussion is vibrant. I mean, it's welcome in Jewish study. It's a form. It's a pedagogic model for learning. The very fact that it's here, we are. It's totally cool to be able to openly say, actually, we have a different way of looking at this. I think it's perfectly fantastic. It's robust, and it's exciting.
It is
this idea of
it's alive.
It's alive. It is. So let's take a look at it. Let's try and uncomplicate this a little bit further. The idea of letting your house being a house of meeting, okay, or as in the Hebrew, the idea of It's a house of meeting. It really is. It's a house of meeting. It's literally a place where people are going to come together. They're going to have discussion. There may be some learning going on, but there also may be some just discussion and conversation. Business may be taking place.
Yeah.
And it's specifically for sages, for chachamim. So that's really cool. Because I'm going to play the other side for that for a second. It doesn't say let your house be a meeting just for anybody. In other words, you're not just opening your house for just kind of like, just kind of like shoot the breeze, you know?
Right.
It's more like if you're going to invite chachamim, if you're going to invite sages into your house and say, hey, come on in, or create a home that is comfortable for that sort of thing. We're going to be having our group meeting here. We're going to be talking about new ways of publicizing our programs. We're going to talk about, you know, just like you've done before, you know, you have people sitting around the table talking about a seret.
Yeah.
Right. The whole idea of like, what is this idea that we are coming up with and how are we going to promote it? How are we going to raise money for it?
Right.
These are the things that may not necessarily be Torah study, but the environment where people are gathered together.
So it's not a Beit Midrash, it's a Beit Vad.
It's a Beit Vad, right?
Who comes in? These
committees.
Are committees. It's a committee. It's a board.
It's a board.
A board of a nonprofit organization.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it is.
But if you're coming in with the right attitude, especially when you're coming in with people who are like, you know, who are chachamim, who are sages, so that's really going to create something very special in your home, isn't it? And the very fact that you're going to... you know, sit in the very dust of their feet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, what a sense of humility, what a sense of saying, here I am, I'm the owner of this house, or I'm the host here.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not the one being honored. I'm the one who is actually going to sit in your feet and I'm going to drink your words with thirst. It's a very vivid,
very colorful description here.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's really, really beautiful. It also has a sense of kind of like, giving the right due, if you will, for people who are chachamim, who are sages, who are people who are wise, and creating an environment where you listen carefully to their words.
I think that's exactly a tradition, and tradition is having respect to your past, and this shows a lot of respect. You know, being the dust of someone's feet, drinking their words with thirst, like that's really respecting someone. And only if you have respect for your past, you can, you know, truly, you could truly accept those words.
Right. Here we go again. I'm going to say something a little bit, not controversial. Maybe it is controversial, but it's certainly coming from a strong opinion.
Right. Everyone hold on tight.
First of all, I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Can I go out on a limb? I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that, you know, where it says here, let your house be a house of meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna expand the boundaries of what the definition of house is.
Mm.
Okay,
go for it.
Okay, I'm gonna expand it to include your community. Okay, I'm gonna expand it to include your nation. One of the expressions of Israel is calling it Beit Yisrael, house of Israel.
I like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about the house of, you know, it's not just my house and, you know, the bedrooms that are in it and the dining room and the kitchen, but it's, you know, when you let your your house or your whatever it is that you is your domain, which could include, as I say, it could include your community, it could include your nation, could include your country. So I'm just gonna run with this
for sure. So it's like this is the Shah Hashem, like this is the gate of God, and righteous people will walk through,
right?
We say in Psalms. It's got to be a big arch.
It's got to be a big arch.
To have all the righteous people walk through that.
Exactly.
Which really corresponds with what you're saying. You can have a very, very, very big house.
You have a very, very big house. I'm not talking about, again, the house that you're living in and cooking your French fries in, but rather your, you know, is that what we're having for dinner tonight, by the way? I'm smelling something really good coming from the...
Smells good. It sounds like you're hungry, too.
I'm hungry, and I smelled something really good coming from the kitchen, so I'm going to head down there soon.
Yeah. There's good soup, too. You made excellent soup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She makes the best soup.
Yes, she does.
If your house is the house of, you know, we think of the house of Shmuel, the house of Bowman. And we talk about our house sometimes as Bowman Cabin. And we do. We, you know, we're talking about the idea, for example, of, you know, having, you know, a rooftop Friday evening prayers and everything. So this becomes an extension of our house. So if your house is not just, if your house or as your nation, your community is a place where you invite sages, you invite wise people to come and meet there. Okay. And that environment, you are going to like literally sit in the dust of their feet and drink their words of thirst, then that has a more of a national element to it, that the people who are welcome and who are invited into your nation are the ones who are going to be bringing wisdom, and you're going to be sitting at their feet and drinking their, you know?
Yeah.
And sure. I think I just throw that out there.
It's like the house rules almost, like this is like what we do here. Because you can set an environment and the same people will behave differently in different places.
Right.
And if you say, this is the house rules, you have to be a chacham to enter.
You have to be a chacham.
People put on their chacham face. They put on their chacham mode.
So one of the reasons I think about that is because obviously I think about the opposite. I think, and maybe this is also what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi were talking about 2,000 years ago or more. Because sometimes when these comments come out in Pirkei Avot, maybe they are a response to the world that they see around them, and that they see a world where you kind of like, you know, people are just kind of like talking stupid things or dumb things or lies or whatever. And you're kind of like, you know, that's not necessarily what your house should be about.
Right.
And, so this is a response that says that we're truth seekers. We want honesty here. Okay. So here's like the more controversial part. It's not so controversial actually, because I would think that most of our listeners are, you know, whatever. I shouldn't assume anything. But here it is. When it comes to Israel, for example,
you can talk about politics.
I can talk about politics.
All right,
I can talk about politics, and I'm specifically going to talk about this amazing, amazing woman, Amit Susana, who this past week came out and really was the first living person to come out who survived the Hamas terror and was taken hostage and was sexually assaulted on many occasions. And has come out and spoken about it, and has basically said this is what happened, and talks in detail. She's very brave. She did an interview with the New York Times. It has been picked up by all the media outlets in the world. Just to be really, really clear, we have evidence of many, 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 many women and men who were sexually assaulted. On October the 7th.
Assaulted and mutilated.
Well, like, this is the thing.
Worse than what usually humans hear about. Like it's
stuff that we need new words even to describe the brutality. But they're all dead.
Yeah.
They can't testify. The only evidence that shows of their sexual assault really is the coroner's evidence, the MRIs and the X-rays that took place.
And even then, I mean, we had like 1,400 bodies to go through, and it happened so quickly. They didn't really give it as much detailed, you know, introspection as they would.
But we do know the doctors did come along and say, "Look at this. This is evidence that sexual assault took place here on this body." Here we have a person who is alive, who's actually talking about it. And Amit Susa, the president of Israel, President Herzog said, Amit Susa speaks for all those who cannot speak. She speaks for all the victims of Hamas's despicable sexual crimes and abuse. She speaks for all women everywhere, right? So really, really quite amazing. So here's the thing. The thing is that the Hamas spokesman, and his name is Bassem Naim. And Bassem Naim comes along, immediately responds, believe it or not, and files a 1,300-word response. I just want to be clear. Anybody who writes a 1,300-word response, they did not do it at that sitting away. They
waited.
They had this response ready and waiting.
For sure.
Somebody who, a 1,300-word response, that's many, many pages.
Yeah.
This is somebody who's worked, has had this ready to go, ready to click the send button. He's been waiting for this.
For sure.
And what he's done is he sent this and he responded to the New York Times regarding Swiss's testimony. And he actually casts doubt on her allegations and demands that the newspaper investigate them. Right. He also says that I'm reading from the news here. He also said that the investigation would be impossible under the current circumstances.
Oh, how convenient.
Unbelievable. Naeem questioned why Swiss had not spoken out publicly about the extent of her abuse until now. I quote, the level of detail in her account makes it difficult to believe unless some security officers designed it. Okay. And he also said Naeem also discounted the possibility that Hamas members would carry out such an act because the human body is sacred to them. Quote, he says, for us, the human body, and especially that of a woman, is sacred, adding that Hamas's religious beliefs forbade any mistreatment of any human being, regardless of sex, religion, or ethnicity.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Just absolute.
Like, how can you, it's like they lie so much that you're almost, you don't have words.
You don't have words.
Express the frustration.
So here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. If there was ever a chance for the women's rights organizations around the world, for the Me Too movement, okay, for anything, for any of them to redeem themselves after the, you know, after the silence that they, the silence was deafening, right? For all these months, yeah. This would have been the time for them to redeem themselves and for to come along and say, you know, Bassem, you're a piece of dirt. You're a piece of dirt. We're canceling you, right? I have to think of all the men that they've canceled, the Me Too movement have canceled, right. Just right. Because, right? Because you, what's their logo? Believe her.
Hmm.
Believe her.
Literally.
Okay. So believe her unless she's Jewish. Okay. Right. So he comes along and says, I'm not believing her. And nobody says anything about it. Absolutely despicable. So here's somebody who is absolute, the polar opposite of a
chacham.
He is the polar opposite. He is absolutely 180 degrees sitting completely. This is a man who should be canceled. This is a man who should not be allowed to write, to be, that his words should not be allowed to be in any form of any news, of any media, nothing. He should be considered to be an absolute, he should be discredited. He should be completely ignored. Really, absolutely. This is a person, I'm sickened even just by even mentioning his name, but we need to for these purposes. But he is in the likes, as far as I'm concerned, of Joseph Goebbels from the Nazi party.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is spreading treacherous news, which is absolutely horrific. He's the opposite of a chacham. And yet, right, communities, the house of the New York Times, the house of CNN.
They're accepting him. He's in the Beit Vad.
Yeah, he's in the Beit Vad. Come and have your meeting, and we're going to sit in the dust of your feet and drink in every word. How opposite, right?
Well said.
It is. Well, I think that's kind of like where we stand. We're coming along, and I think Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi are coming along and saying the world is filled with evil, terrible people who want to say terrible, disgusting things. And people are sitting at their feet and they're drinking in every word. We have to be the opposite. The Jewish people have to bring a light into the world that says, yehi, that your house should be a house of meeting for chachamim, for wise people, for real people, for real truth. Right. That's the kind of environment that we want to be sitting at their feet, at the dust of their feet and drinking in their words.
Right. You have to make sure who you let in first.
Exactly. You have to be exactly
before you completely listen.
Right. That's kind of what strikes me in light of the news from this week. So I don't know. I mean, I guess, is that controversial? Maybe. Will everyone kind of like resonate with that idea? I'm not sure. It kind of struck me today.
Yeah.
As I'm, you know, as we're thinking.
Well, I hope, what I take from this is definitely checking in kind of like with what I'm letting in first before I completely drink it with thirst. Like,
right.
Being a chacham. Being a chacham also by letting in chacham, it takes a chacham to know one. You gotta use your sense, like, you know.
I think it's very, very true. It is that idea of making sure who's coming in.
Yeah.
Checking their credentials. You know, the idea of like before I believe anything you're gonna say,
yes.
Who are you?
Yes. We need a doorman.
We need a doorman. I like that.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Beautiful.
All right. See you next week. Please join me every week for new ideas and
Let's share these secrets together. Shalom. I'm Shmuel Bowman.